your Bibles. Go with me to Hebrews 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. Now, this morning I am going to finish a study of Hebrews 11 that we started several weeks ago. This is the 16th message out of this one chapter that we have looked at, and I feel kind of like the man I heard years ago. I don't know if this was a true account or not. I pray that it is, but I heard about a pastor one Sunday walked to the pulpit and told his congregation, "This will be my last service because I have preached everything in the Bible that can be preached. There's nothing more to preach," and he resigned. I don't know if that's true or not. I certainly hope it isn't. I kind of feel that way because I'm at the end of this. I know, however, there's a lot more in the Bible. Amen? And I'm thankful for these studies that we've had. We've been looking at faith. And if you know anything about Hebrews 11, you know it's considered and called the Hall of Faith. And many, many individuals, many names are given. And we have broken them all down. We've looked at them. And with each individual who highlights a particular area of faith, we also find three. Now, there could be many more, but we have each time we've looked at three enemies that will fight against our faith in that particular avenue. So I want us to see that this morning. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. Now, we're going to read more out of Hebrews 11 than we have at any other given time, because all of these are going to fall underneath of the last outline point that we have. Verse number 32, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah." Now, those, of course, all come out of the book of Judges. All of them were judges used of God. But he goes on, "Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, who received the dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." Oh, how much power there is in that simple statement. "These individuals of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." Now, there is a lot in this, and we're going to look at only a few of the things. We're going to highlight only a few of these. But as we have looked at every other area of faith out of Hebrews 11, I want to conclude this, and we can give it the title, the outline point, Faith for Satisfaction. Every point has begun with an S. You've been around here, you know that. But here this morning, I want us to see faith for satisfaction. But then I also want us to see the enemies that are going to fight against that faith to be satisfied with what God has given us. Faith for satisfaction. I do pray that you will listen this morning. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would be with us as we look to your word. Lord, as we close the book or the chapter 11 here of Hebrews, Lord, I pray that we would see that, dear God, in you we truly can be satisfied. Lord, it will take faith in all of our lives to be satisfied with what you've given us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I ask that you would help us to realize that there are enemies Dear God, I pray that we will have due diligence, dear God, that we will already know going into this that there are going to be enemies against our faith. But Lord, I pray that we would be warned of it, and Lord, we would know better how then to fight. Bless this message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I want you to think about the verses that we read here. And of course, we're not prone to reading so many on a Sunday morning as what we've just read here. As we begin, in fact, take your Bible, just maybe you have to flip the page, maybe you don't. Look at verses number 1, 2, and 3 here of Hebrews 11, where it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you were here for our Faith Promise Missions Conference, Brother Scott made a great point. He said that God's economy is faith. That's how God's economy runs, is on faith. And so we see here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse number 2 it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." It goes on, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Baffled the mind of anyone at that particular time. How are the things that are seen made of things that are not seen? And of course, until we developed the scanning electron microscope, we didn't realize that everything that is that consists is made up of smaller particles that we now know as atoms, and those atoms are broken up into protons, neutrons, electrons. We understand those things now, and we may not grasp the fullness of it. Brother Hayes and I were talking the other day on soul winning. He was a chemical engineer, and I said, "So you understand all of the, I said, man, chemistry. I loved chemistry when I was in college. I never took it in high school, but I took it in college, and so I took introduction to chemistry. I said, man, I like that. I thought about changing my major to chemistry, and then I took real college chemistry, and I decided real quickly I'm not going into chemistry." But you could talk to him, and he could describe for you the bonds of atoms and why they bond and why they won't bond, and the ions and all these different things that I act like I'm smart about, but I just a bunch of words that I throw around. But we see here out of the Word of God that he has already beat science to the punch. He's already talked about it. He's already told us about it. When we go up to verse number 2, we see that by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now go back over to the verses that we read, and we get down to verse number 39. Many of them were listed up in verses number 32. And then we read about others who are unnamed in verses 33 down through 38. And in verse 39 it says, "All of and these all, having obtained a good report through faith." Folks, I hope that you will one day be able to have that description given to you, that you obtained a good report through faith. You see, God's economy certainly runs on faith. Everything that we do when it surrounds the Word of God is going to be done through faith. I am grateful for how we in science have come to understand that God has already beat us to the answer. I'm glad that we can see things where the Bible talks about the circle of the earth in the book of Jeremiah, and yet at the time they thought that the world was flat, or that they thought that if they sailed too far out into the ocean that the ship would fall off and be lost forever. I am grateful for the fact that it talks about the currents that flow through the ocean that the Bible speaks of, that we didn't know about for hundreds probably of years, probably even thousands of years before they were able to discern the fact that there are actual currents in the ocean, that there are streams that are fed from the ocean floor that no one knew about until they read a Bible, and then they started doing some search and research and found out that God's Word is true. Amen? It's faith. It's faith. If you're going to go to heaven, it will be because of faith. It's not going to be because of your good works. It's not going to be because of your good looks. It's not going to be because of your good money. It will be because of faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Today we look at the idea of faith for satisfaction. Faith for satisfaction. So many people today are dissatisfied with what God has given them. Dissatisfied. Unhappy with their looks that God has given them. However, in Psalm 139, verse number 14, The psalmist says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But yet there are many who are unhappy with their looks. There are many people who are unhappy with the family that they've been born into. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. But yet there are so many unhappy with the family that they've been born into. There are many people who are unhappy with their job. They're unhappy with the job that they have. But Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You see, work while the day is dawning, because the night is coming. And as that verse in Ecclesiastes says, there's going to be a day when you are in the grave and you will not have one more moment to do any kind of work. But there are those who are unhappy with their job. There are those who are unhappy with their finances. But yet Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, I'm unhappy with my finances though, Pastor. Well, we can be satisfied through faith in what God's given us. Many people are just unhappy with life. Unhappy with life altogether. Philippians 4:11, Paul, as he is writing the church of Philippi, says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Faith for satisfaction. You see, when we compare those who are recorded here in Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 40, we have nothing to complain about. When we look at those individuals, and we'll look at them a little more closely in a few moments, but when we look at those individuals, and it begins at the beginning in verse 32, it names a few, but then it goes beyond, far, far beyond those few, who by faith were satisfied with what God has given them. And when we look at that list, and we see the difficulties that they had gone through, and we imagine we examine our own lives, we come to the quick realization that I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to complain about. I spoke about here in announcements about Brother Ambrosio, Solomon Ambrosio, 8 years ago when he was here. He stayed with my family and I, and on Sunday morning he went to another church and visited with them, and he was here on a Sunday night. This year I wanted to have him on a Sunday morning so more of our church family could meet him. But that Saturday he drove into town. He was with us on that Saturday, and so that Saturday I took him out to get something to eat, and we drove down to the church that he was going to visit. And as we were driving just down the street here, just down the street on the right hand side is one of those storage units. I forget what it's called there. Now there's one right across the street. All these different places. But as we're driving by, we're just having casual conversation. And I saw him look over at that. And he kind of looked this way and looked back at it. And I could see there was kind of a quizzical look in his eye. And I said, Brother Ambrosio, do you know what that is? And he said, no, I don't know what that is. And I said, well, that's a storage unit. That's where people who have more stuff that can fit in their house, that's where they take it to store it. And I watched his face with utter confusion. More stuff than you can put in your house, and you pay to put it in there. A Filipino native that had no concept of the you store it type places. You see, when we examine our lives, when we examine the lives of others, oh, we have nothing to complain about. What is our level of satisfaction? What is your level of satisfaction this morning? You see, it's going to take some faith to be satisfied with what God's given you. Now, understand, I don't believe that any of us should say, well, I'm born again, I'm satisfied with that, I don't think I need to do anything else for God. No, let's not take satisfaction and twist it and use it against God. God wants us to grow in grace. Amen? He wants our life to move forward. But we need to start realizing that God is in control, and what God has allowed us to have or not to have, we need to be satisfied. We look at these, and I'm going to give you the three things that are our enemies. The first of which is the enemy of pride. The enemy of pride. Look at again verse number 32. And what shall I say? Let me start again. What shall I more say? For time would fail me. There's not enough time. It reminds me over the book of John where it says, there's not enough ink in the world to write everything that Jesus did for us. And here, there's not enough time to tell of everything, of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah. Oh, those judges in the book of Judges. Understand something. God uses these four individuals. There were more than just those four in the book of Judges. But He uses these four as a point of illustration of faith. But understand, at the time of which each of these judges arose, preceding all of them, the Bible says there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No longer satisfied with what God had given. And as you read through the book of Judges, and as you do a study of the book of Judges, you'll realize that they, as a nation, they walked out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and of course we get through the rest of the first five books, and then we get to Joshua, and Joshua is used by God rather than Moses to march the children of Israel into the promised land, and so here they are now having the conquest that God has given to them. And now in the book of Judges, we meet those who there were 2.5 tribes. They decided to stay over here on the other side of Jordan. But those who did cross Jordan, now they had some battles that they were supposed to fight. And so they watched as God allowed the enemies to be toppled over one after another after another. And then we get to the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, we see the fact that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They forgot about everything that God had done for them. And they became dissatisfied with their life. And so they began to look to themselves for satisfaction. And it led them to the point where they were in such depravity that God said, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to send judgment your way. And so they were enslaved, whether it be by the Midianites or whether it be by any of the other ites that are listed there in the book of Judges. They were held captive. They were enslaved. Sometimes it was just a few years, maybe 7 or 8 or 9. Sometimes it was a full generation or more. Sometimes it was 70 years of captivity. But for the better part of 350 years, up and down, and up and down. Oh, Lord, would you deliver us, please, Lord? And God heard their plea, sent a judge their way. Whether it be, as we see here, whether it be Gideon, he was one of them. Barak, he was one. Samson, he was one. Jephthah, he was one. Oh, Lord, would you send deliverance our way? God said, all right, I'll do that. I'll send deliverance your way. And so they're delivered. Oh, Lord, thank you so very much. You can read Psalm 37. It kind of, in one psalm, kind of highlights what they did. They were delivered by God. Oh, you're such a wonderful God. But then they got their eyes off of God. Their satisfaction looked back to themselves. And they repeated the cycle again and again and again and again. I think God's been pretty gracious with our country. We see 13 times in the book of Judges, 350 years, 13 times. We're only 230 some years old as a nation. And we're doing exactly what the children of Israel did in the book of Judges. I wonder how long our nation will have to be held enslaved by a conquering nation. Wow, that could never happen. I'm afraid that I would have to beg to differ with you. That it could happen. And probably is happening. We have the giant of pride. The giant, the enemy of pride. What are the enemies against our faith for satisfaction? Well, first of all, it's going to be the enemy of pride.
Look at these verses again. Verse number 33, we'll pick up there. Who through faith, we're talking about these individuals that just named, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Oh, there is nothing better than great success to give you a pride problem. The enemy of pride. I can only imagine the enemy that they faced of pride. If I were to go through that list and think to myself, well, I subdued kingdoms. Well, I stopped lions' mouths. I quenched fire. I escaped the death by the sword. I was made strong when I was weak. Oh, I waxed valiant in fight. I turned to fly. And on and on. I can imagine the pride that would well up inside of me. The enemy of pride fights satisfaction. Because once you get a taste of pride, it's like the illustration that I gave this morning in Sunday school. It's like the wolf that wants to have more blood and more blood and isn't satisfied with what they've given. Because pride only gives you a thirst for more pride. Once you have gotten to that point where you are that proud individual because of what you have accomplished, you're not satisfied until you get that high off of pride again. Oh, you were complimented. Wow, that felt great. Maybe your boss held you up high and before everyone commended you for a great job and gave you an award. And you know, they say that a title, in most job situations, a title, people would rather have a title than they would a raise. I'm thinking, I don't care. Call me janitor. Just give me a raise. You know? But as they've done studies, people like that title. Why? Because of pride. And they want another dose of pride. Oh, it's an enemy when we are looking at satisfaction for what God has given us. It's an enemy against our faith for satisfaction. Again, we're going to have to be satisfied through faith with what God's given to us. Our satisfaction comes from God through faith in Him, and it does not come from ourselves. Our satisfaction cannot come from ourselves. Because when our satisfaction begins to come from within, from ourselves, it will only show itself as pride. That's the only outcome. So our satisfaction has to come from God. Because when it comes from God, we realize real quickly, This is not of me. I am utterly undeserving of what God's given me. And I'm satisfied. Oh Lord, I'm satisfied with it. Pride will stand in the way of our faith. Listen to Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will stand in direct contradiction to faith. It can be easy to think too highly of yourself if you don't see the hand of God in your life. It's very easy to think too highly of yourself when you miss God's work, when you miss what God is doing. God brings a blessing your way and you take credit for it. Watch out, dear friend. Oh, dear Christian friend, watch out. You take credit for what God has given to you, and you will never see the hand of God. The Lord gives us tremendous victories when we have faith in Him. Those victories then give us pure satisfaction. Genuine satisfaction. The song that is sung, only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Oh, listen, we live in a world that is looking for happiness, looking for satisfaction, looking for self-gratification. We live in a world where everyone wants an instant result. Everyone wants to see it done right today. I want the consequences now, the good consequences. Oh, I don't want the bad ones, but I want those good ones. I want to see that satisfaction and I don't want to wait for it. But God teaches us in faith, we need to wait. In faith, We need to wait. And the only way that I can possibly wait and be satisfied is by faith. We've seen the first enemy is the enemy of pride. The second enemy is the enemy of defeat. Look, if you will, beginning in the middle of verse number 35. It talked about the woman receiving the dead to life again. Then it goes on and says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You're right there. Go over to verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When we were there, we saw faith for suffering. And we see the direct teaching that Moses gives us the example of having faith for suffering. And then when we read over here in verse number 35, the women, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. We think of Moses. Oh, listen, he was not willing to be delivered. I will take the consequences of my people. As it says, I don't want to be lifted up. I don't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I will rather to choose affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that describes sin. That describes its pleasure. It's for a season. Sin always, the pleasure of sin always ends. So what do? You look for that pleasure again. How do you find it? Well, you're already prone to the sinning lifestyle. So you look for it in the same place that you found it last time. But there is a season, and it is short-lived. Oh, but you see the satisfaction that comes from God. There's no expiration date. There's no termination date. Now, you can become dissatisfied by living for yourself, by allowing the enemy of pride to defeat you, by allowing the enemy of defeat to win. Oh, it's not easy to be satisfied with what we regard as defeat. That's not an easy thing. To be satisfied with what we regard as defeat. All of these verses point to the fact that they were satisfied with God. But Pastor, it talks about in verse number 36, let's read, others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And God says, yeah, and the world was not worthy of them. I honor them. God says, I honor them. I honor them. The world wasn't worthy of them. It goes on then in verse number 38, they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these have obtained a good report through faith. Oh, the enemy of defeat. Who is to say what is defeat, however? I made the statement, it's not easy to be satisfied when we regard that we're defeated. But 2 Corinthians verses chapter 4, listen to these verses. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. You can write that those verses there next to your Bible in Hebrews. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 8 and 9. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Faith for satisfaction. Even in defeat. You see, Satan wants to diminish your faith to be satisfied with God. And he'll use pride to tear down your satisfaction, and he'll use defeat. Oh, the beginning of the list. What? They won! They won! Oh, they were They were successful. Pastor Gideon. Well, Gideon was successful against the whole army of the Midianites with only 300. There was no defeat there. Right. He had to be careful of pride. Barak and Samson and Jephthah, you can read in the book of Judges, they were successful. Even though Samson, he got pulverized, but at the end of it was a success. But then we get to the defeats. Oh, we get to the defeats. And they have become enemies in our lives. Anytime that we get our eyes on our own problems, we are subject to defeat. Anytime we get our eyes on our own problems, we are subject to defeat. We're already headed down that road. The spectacles of defeat will blur the satisfaction of faith. I've been defeated. You put the spectacles of defeat on, and it blurs the satisfaction of faith. Why? Because all I see is defeat. I put them on and everything is just defeat after defeat after defeat. And I can't see clearly. I can't see that God is giving me what I need to be satisfied. And it will happen in faith. It will happen in faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Proverbs 24, verse number 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand the adversity that I face. I may not. I may not. But I serve a God who does. Amen. Without question, I serve a God who does understand what it means to face defeat. You see, He faced defeat on the cross of Calvary. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. He could have done anything He wanted, but He took the suffering for me. He shed His blood for me. He allowed, God allowed His Son to be bruised for me. God forsook Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for me. Allowed the soul of the Son of God to dip into hell for me, that I might know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh, I thank the Lord that He walked out of hell. I thank the Lord that the stone was rolled away and He walked out of the tomb and He's ascended back to heaven and He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, I thank God for that. But He did it for me so that I could know heaven as my home. So that I could know for certain where I would spend eternity. I asked yesterday so many that would give me opportunity to talk to them as we went out and knocking on one door and another and ask people a simple question. If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell or do you know? And oh, the questions that flood back is to, I hope so, I think I might, I've got a good chance. If anyone can make it, I can. All of these things that leave God and Christ Jesus completely out of it. Oh, let me remind you again today, if you're going to go to heaven, it's not going to be because you were a good boy. It's not because you attended an old-fashioned Baptist church. It's not because you endured an hour of a message. If you go to heaven, it's going to be because you realize that you were undone before God on your way to hell because you were a sinner. Well, I'm not a sinner. How dare you call me a sinner? I am not. But God already has. The other day, I was down at the hospital talking to an individual who was about ready to go into surgery. And I said to him, imagine this, when the surgeon came in, generally the surgeon comes in, talks with the patient just before they put him under, then they wheel him to the operating room. And I said, imagine if the surgeon walked in and I said, "Hey, doc, listen, I'd like to watch that. I would love to see this surgery." Now, some of you may say, not me. I would love to. I've only seen one time, and I would love to see another one. And so the doc says, no, you can't do that. And I say, no, and listen, I understand the liability. I'll sign any waiver, whatever needs be, I'll sign it. I just want to go in. He would still say no. And I say, if I pressed him, he'd say, well, you're unclean. And I could get all offended and say, what do you mean I'm unclean? I showered this morning. I've got dress clothes on. How dare you call me unclean? But yet the surgeon would say, compared to the state of the room, you're a filthy wreck. And so many people say, how dare you call me unclean before God? How dare you say that I'm a sinner? Why go to church? Sometimes 2 times a month. I read the Bible. I believe in God. How dare you call me unclean? Sir, ma'am, compared to the state of heaven, we're all unclean. There's not a one of us that deserved to go to heaven. Jesus Christ made the way. Oh, I could say I have all of the best that I could possibly give God. But God would say, I don't want what you have to give me. I want what I had to give you. Oh, I wish that you had trusted my Son as your Savior. He will look at the individual that claimed church attendance. He will look at the individual that claimed a good life. And believe me, we have many. I've talked to pastors before. Listen, would you listen? I've talked to pastors before. And I've asked pastors, if you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And they look at me and I had one man say, well, son, we're all trying. And you want to tell a congregation anything about the Bible? I don't care what your title is. I don't care what you've done. When you get to heaven and you try to tell God that I did so much that you should let me in, we are literally observing pride at its fullest. Why should you come into heaven? Well, let me tell you what I did. I was a good boy. Are you expecting Santa Claus? We're talking to God. And He'll say, it has nothing to do with you. You never trusted Christ as your Savior. You never were willing to bow your head in humility and say, I'm on my way to hell. But I know that Jesus died for my sin. And by faith, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. And sir, ma'am, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior... Oh, I can't give you the words. There's no Bible verse that says, oh, say these words. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus. No, there are no words. Many times over, I've led someone in a sinner's prayer. But every time I do, I say, please, you need to understand, it's not these words. But God sees your heart, that you are broken before Him. You are repentant of the sin. You realize there's a consequence, and it's a holy God that you've offended. You see, if you've never done that, sir, if you've never done that, ma'am, I'll promise you God will look at you and He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And you'll be ushered to the edge of eternity and you'll be cast into an everlasting fire that burns forever and ever. And that's where your soul will spend eternity. Oh, but the other side is that if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, God will say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way it can get written in the Lamb's Book of Life is the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now notice I didn't say the day that you were baptized. Notice I didn't say the day that you joined Coastal Light Baptist Church. Notice I didn't say the day that you decided to turn over a new leaf and do good. No, the day that you realized, I'm on my way to hell and I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Everything else is pride. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're full of pride if you start. If I were to ask you, why should you go to heaven, and you tell me, well, I've tried my best. I could be honest. Pride. But no, Pastor, seriously. Honestly, I've gone to church since I was a little kid. Pride. No! I've tried my hardest. I've done pride, because that's all it is. I don't deserve any of it. I've got to move on. We see faith, the enemy of defeat. the enemy of defeat. Joseph, listen, if faith had never overcome defeat, Joseph would never have gotten out of prison. The armies of Israel would still be in Egypt. Paul would never have preached to a single soul, and you and I could not be saved today. Remember, true satisfaction means that you could not wish for any other outcome. That's true satisfaction. I could not wish for any other outcome. Song we sing, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. Are you? A little silver and a little gold. Oh, just a little? Are you really satisfied? Defeat will be an enemy. The last enemy, as we read on, begins in verse number 39. These last two verses. All of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. The last enemy that we will encounter is the enemy of missed opportunities. The enemy of missed opportunities. Remember, we're putting our faith for satisfaction. Missed opportunities. How many times have we been discouraged by the fact that we did not get what we thought we should get? And we're discouraged over it. Well, I thought I deserved that raise. And truth be told, you probably did. But you didn't get it. And what does it bring? Discouragement. Well, I thought I should, and I didn't, and now I'm discouraged. Absolutely. Missed opportunities. But you see, now we're talking about spiritual opportunities. Oh, it would have been a great opportunity. Look at verse number 39 again. All of these individuals, all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't receive the promise of Jesus Christ. They never got to see Him. Every one of these are talking about Old Testament saints. Every one of them were dead, sawn asunder, slain by the sword, or winners in their life, but long ago dead. Lived for God and knew that there was a Messiah one day. Scriptures taught clearly of it, but they received not the promise. Well, I thought I was going to get to see the Messiah. I didn't even get to see the Son of God. Missed opportunities. Satisfaction is gone because of the missed opportunity. Rather than saying, no, wait. My satisfaction is through faith. And that's what he's trying to say. Through faith, they obtained a good report even though they missed the opportunity. They did not receive the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, as Paul is writing to the Hebrews, he's saying, God had something better for us. We got Jesus Christ. They looked for Him. They did not get to see Him. Oh, but they knew that He was coming. And we got to see Him. Oh, they had faith. Even though they missed the opportunity, they had faith to be satisfied was what God had given. Think of the faith that is being shown by all of the Bible characters in the Old Testament, yet they never once saw Christ. They received not the promise, but God chose on purpose to highlight their faith, knowing that in the end, the better thing was going to be provided for us. But He highlighted their faith. All the way back to verse number 4, Abel, by faith. Enoch, by faith. Noah, by faith. Abraham, by faith. Sarah, by faith. All of them, as it goes in verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What are you confessing to God? Are you confessing to God? Well, I'm not satisfied because I didn't get what I thought I deserved. Oh, would you see the faith of these individuals? Would you see the faith as it goes on of Abraham, of Isaac, of Joseph, of Moses, of Rahab the harlot, others that are spoken of indirectly? Oh, listen, the enemy of missed opportunities, it will war against our satisfaction. Can I ask you this morning? Can I ask you? Would you decide, as it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of all things not seen. We may never see the evidence. I've been praying, and I've not seen God answer. You may never see the evidence. You may never see the evidence. But that doesn't mean that God did not answer. Oh, when we get to heaven, we'll see all of the answers. We'll see all of the answers. God answered every prayer. We think He should answer it the way that we ask. Of course we do. God knows that. But that's not what He's always going to do. What does He say? I want you to have faith in Me. And even though I'm not going to answer the prayer the way that you want Me to answer it, it's not an unanswered prayer. I answered it. You just didn't see the evidence of it. Have faith. Have faith. Oh, would you have faith? That's how we grow. We grow by faith. 16 different times we've looked at different areas of faith. The enemies are out there. They will fight against us. How will your faith increase? How will your faith grow? Are you going to let the enemies... We've highlighted them. Why? So that you know how to fight. So that you know how to fight. If you want, in my office, I can make copies of it for you. I have just a quick outline of every one of these that we've already gone through. You say, man, Pastor, I'd like to have that just so that I could keep it to remind myself. Great, I'll make copies. I'll give it to you. But are you going to have the faith that God is looking for? Are you satisfied with what He's done? Are you satisfied with what He's given? Dissatisfaction causes all kinds of problems. Satisfaction has all kinds of blessings. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would be satisfied with what You give us. Lord, I pray that if there is one here who is not saved, they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, I would pray that they would realize they cannot be satisfied without Jesus Christ. Lord, it is Jesus that satisfies the soul. And maybe there's one here today that needs to make a decision. Lord, it might be that they have, for many opportunities now, they have gone unanswered. They've not taken the opportunity. Oh, Lord, if there is one here that if they slipped into eternity right now, Lord, it would be an eternity in hell. Dear God, I pray that they would realize that that can be changed in an instant, in a moment of time. They can trust Christ as their Savior. Oh, Lord, I pray for the individual that has been saved, but Lord, they're living a dissatisfied life. Lord, could I ask that You would help them to see that satisfaction comes by faith? Oh, please, Lord, I pray that You would help us to see that. This morning, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Can I ask you that question? If you died today, would you go to heaven? How many of you would be able to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I know I'd go to heaven because I remember the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. All across, keep your hand up, keep your hand up. I know I'm saved. Pastor, I know I'm saved. I remember the day I got saved. I know without a question in my... Hey, keep your hand up. I'm looking. Oh, I know I'm saved. I have no doubt about where I'll spend eternity. All right, you can put your hands down. Can I say that maybe you didn't listen, but several didn't have your hand up. Why would you come to a holy God and listen to a Bible and then say, I think I'm fine? Oh, I beg you, would you search the Scriptures? Because the Bible, the Word of God, tells you you're not fine. And one day your life will come to a close. And you have no idea if it's going to be tomorrow or if it's going to be today. And if you die without Christ as your Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. And there will be no alternative, and there will be no escape. This morning, is there one that maybe you say, I didn't raise my hand, Pastor, I would like to be saved today. I'll have someone take you to a side room and they'll show you from the Bible how you can trust Christ as your Savior. Real quickly, is there anyone like that? Slip your hand up right now. Slip your hand. No one's looking around. Pastor, that's me. I would like to be saved. I would like to trust Christ as my Savior. You didn't slip your hand up, but you know you need to be saved. Is there one, even one this morning? How about this? How many of you say, Pastor, I've lived a life that has been dissatisfied, and I realize now that if I'm going to have a satisfied life, it's going to be by faith. Could I have your hand real quickly? Pastor, that's me. What would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Lord, you've seen our hearts today. You've seen our hands. Lord, you've seen our response to you. I pray that we would make clear decisions, dear God, whether it be for salvation, Lord, whether it be for satisfaction. Help us to make decisions to trust you by faith. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand if